Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
Daddy's too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
Hump. I love BJ's Pab Thwabby.
Blood Puddle.
Fur Circus.
Steven Ricker's Testicles.
T-Butted.
Boom chicka wow wow.
No, no touchy place.
Beer.
Broken penis.
Vitellary Filippula.
Filippuli.
Filippalapala.
Wow, 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 wow.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
That was totally wicked!
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
All right, here we go. Second hour of the Amusement Park on 96.9 FM Wired Radio. Joining me live in studio, the one, the only, Don Breck. And you are listening to Comet's Tales. How you doing today, Don?
Hi. Happy to be here. That's all I got to say.
I like your flashing head.
Thank you.
Iceman Insights.
You like it when I flash in general, don't
Michael
you?
Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster, IcemanManiacs.com. Isn't that funny? You crack me up and I can nail the intro. But when I've got the outro and nothing going on.
That's when you blow it.
That's when I pull out the Michael Shocklers.
Yeah. I like that, though.
I just... part of me just wants to cover Fort Wayne. I mean, they got a really good hockey team and a lot of great players. And
well, hey, when our regular season is over, we can talk about what the Comets and Fuel are doing in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
There won't be much Iceman news to talk about.
No, there's barely any now. But we are going to begin with breaking news.
Yes, yes. Breaking news for those who are not aware, the Icemen are terrible.
It is a shame that... they started off the preseason season with billboards around town, our goal, win. Then they took those all down, and we talked about it last week. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago that they replaced them with, we suck less than Stockton?
Yeah, we suck less than Stockton.
And now, yeah, okay. And so now 7 days later, they're taking those billboards down.
We suck less than team to be named later.
Yeah, if there is one.
If there is one somewhere.
In 10 leagues.
So, yeah, the Icemen went 0-3 in the past week, and none of the games were even close. We'll save the worst for last. First, Friday night, the Icemen lost by a field goal up in Indy, 3-0. Chris Drieger, 30 saves on 33 shots. That's all there is to say about that. We'll then fast forward to the end of the weekend on Sunday. We lost by a field goal again, 4-1 at home against Orlando. Brandon Kahm made 34 saves on 38 shots in net.
So, to go with your football reference, Orlando kicked a field goal and an extra point.
Yeah, somehow. I'm not sure how that worked out.
Yeah.
We got a one-pointer somehow. yeah, Jarrett Lucan scored on Sunday with 7:49 left to spoil Orlando's shutout, and that was the lone highlight of that game. So, moving on to the worst for last. Saturday night, the Icemen lost by a whole touchdown against Orlando, 10-3 at home. It was 4-0. By the 8-minute mark in the first period, which, to borrow another sports metaphor, that's like giving up a grand slam to the first four batters.
Yeah.
And it was all downhill from there. Kahm gave up 3 goals on 7 shots, and then Drieger came in for the rest of the game, gave up 7 goals on 26 shots. The Icemen got goals from Miles Bell, Spencer Humphreys, and Jordan Sims. There were a few good things out of that game. Jordan Sims, that was his first career ECHL goal, and his mom, Al's wife, was actually sitting right down the row from us, And when he scored, she went mommy nuts. And it was awesome. She was clapping and wooing and, that's my baby scored. So that was pretty cool getting to see her celebrate his first ECHL goal. I also thought it was good to see Miles Bell light the lamp. He's been, well, like the entire Iceman team, he's been ice cold lately. He only has 5 points in his last 22 games after having 14 in his first 17. So it was good to see him tickle the twine. And it was an interesting night. It was one of those odd things you don't see very often, but it should have been a harbinger of things to come, I guess. There was a hit-and-run accident a couple hours before the game on Saturday that knocked out power to much of downtown. And while the Ford Center didn't lose power for long, it did get zapped. And in the process, some of the lights didn't work. The freight elevator was down. There were things in the building they couldn't get back on after the power was restored. Apparently, the chillers and the refrigeration system for the ice stopped working briefly, and they got it back on. But even they were, throughout warm-ups and pregame, they were turning lights off and turning lights on, trying to get everything to work.
Reboot.
And they couldn't get, like, some of the lights that are directed at the ice just would not come back on. So it was fairly shadowy. It was enough to play safely, but it was not optimum, which is one of our favorite words around here.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, it was kind of an odd deal. Thankfully, they did get the lights all fixed in time for Sunday's game. One other thing of note from Saturday's game, I enjoyed with a minute left in the third period when the fans usually say, "Hey, Tommy, how much time's left?"
Yep.
Instead, they said, "Hey, Tommy, is it over yet?" Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about some rough stats in that game. Jarrett Lucan, Peter Sakaris, Robin Sudek, they were on a line, and that entire line went -5.
Dash nickel. Yeah. Not good. That's me with the Red Dragons right there.
Bo Driscoll and Spencer Humphreys were a D pairing. Driscoll ended up -5, and Humphreys took the
bonus,
the award for the night, and was -6.
That'll ruin a stat line right there.
Yeah.
One game can ruin your whole season.
Yep. Phil Buschbacher, somehow, he was the 10th forward in the game, so he wasn't taking a regular shift, but he was +1 in that game.
How about that?
And someone who did take a regular shift, Zach Curry, was even in a 10-3 loss. And I got to give credit, Sean Pooley, I ran into him before the game on Saturday, he told me before that game, Curry has never been on the ice for a Solar Bears goal. And I thought, well, that's odd, because he started in the Southern Division last year.
In South Carolina.
Right. I thought, that can't be true. Well, I went back and checked, and it's not true to the nth degree, but it is true for the most part. Last season, Curry played 9 games against Orlando. He was never a minus in those 9 games, and he was, in fact, never a minus at any point in a game because he was only on the ice in those 9 games for 2 Orlando goals, and they were both power play goals.
Ah.
So he was, going into this weekend, never on the ice for an Orlando Solar Bears goal that would make him a minus at any point. And you would think, well, we lost 10-3 and 4-1. Surely that is over.
Yep.
Wrong. Believe it or not.
14-4.
Yeah, believe it or not, he played both games and he took a regular shift in both games and he was even in both games. And not only was he even, he was not on the ice for any of the goals scored on Saturday or Sunday by either team.
Hmm.
13 goals scored in Saturday's game, 5 more in Sunday's game, and Zach Curry was not on the ice for a one of them.
I was really impressed with him last week against Wheeling. Just found a way to get his stick in the shooting lane to block a shot here and block a shot there. I think he saved a goal at one point in the game. He's turned out to be a pretty serviceable defenseman at this level.
I wouldn't have a problem with him being a third-pairing defenseman next year.
Yep.
I wouldn't necessarily build my roster around him, but, you know, if other things
get
fall through.
He's going to get a job somewhere,
whether
it's here or somewhere else.
Yep. In Saturday's game, the Iceman had 56 shots on goal, which is a new AA team record, but it is not the all-time franchise record. Our all-time record was 85.
Yeah.
In that 24-4 victory on Valentine's Day of 2009 against the Chicago Blaze.
Is that the Kira Hurley game?
Yes, that is the game in which she had the assist. But there were 4 other AHA games in which we had more than 56 shots. So it's 6th all-time Saturday ranks, but not been outdone by anything in AA. 56 is the most we've had in a CHL or ECHL game. However, in dubious records. The 10 goals allowed is a team high in ECHL franchise history, and the 7-goal margin of defeat ties the team ECHL record for worst loss. That ties with the 7-0 loss against Cincinnati at home in the 4th game of last season, which, remember, everyone had a meltdown about.
Yeah. Look too bad now, does it?
Yeah. There were two games during our first CHL season that were just as bad, if not a bit worse. An 11-4 loss at Missouri and an 8-0 loss at home against Missouri. But there were a bunch of aha games that were even worse. Still, the record holder for most goals allowed in a game and worst margin of defeat was a 16-3 loss at Chi-Town against the Shooters, coincidentally also on Pi Day back in 2009. I know everyone was saying, has it ever been this bad? Yeah, it's been this bad. We've seen that and worse. I do have a question for you. I was looking at these numbers, I was thinking, if you're going to lose by 7, obviously you wouldn't want to lose by 7. Would you rather lose 7-0 or 10-3? In the 10-3, you're giving up double digits, which is not good, but at least you scored a few goals.
I think I would rather lose 7-0.
You think so?
Yeah,
you'd rather get shut out?
When that 10 double digits, the 10 spot goes up, that's a whole different level of suck.
Yeah. You don't see it very often.
You lose 4-0, you lose 5-0, it's a bad night.
Yeah.
7-0, you know, those kind of things happen. The wheels fall off and you can't get anything going and it is what it is. But you give up 10 goals.
Whew,
Just, you don't ever want to be a part of that.
No, you don't see it very often. So were you surprised at how people freaked out about this? It seemed like people were just now figuring out with this score, oh yeah, this team sucks.
Yeah, it was really surprising. Ryan Huff putting a picture of the nuclear cloud explosion.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, 2 months after everyone else
did. Yeah, I'm like, well, boy, here's a guy with his finger on the pulse. Like, geez, I mean, we had the whole asylum. Llewellyn decorated the asylum with that 2 months ago. So
yeah.
I was, and here we have a situation. We've got some people that have their panties all in a wad about, you know, a certain player demanded a trade, and if he doesn't want to be here, let's get rid of him. We don't need that kind. And then other people, why are we trading Thomas Frazee when he said he wants to stay here? Why would you trade someone like that? Well, guess what, folks? Whether they say it or not, no one wants to play for this team this season. And I don't understand why we take it personal. This is not an attack. Whether they ask to be traded or not, it's not an attack on our city. It's not an attack on the Ford Center. It just has to do with the clubhouse.
The team's terrible.
This year. And it is obvious that here is a team that picked up 4 points in 4 games. Then the trade deadline comes and goes, and then they get blown out 17-4 in 3 games. Everyone was battling last week against Wheeling, Indy, Wheeling, and then who was the other one?
Kalamazoo.
You know, everyone was battling because everyone wanted to get noticed because everyone on that team wanted to get traded.
Trade me, please.
And you see what happened when they got left behind. They were just flat.
They knew they were stuck on a sinking ship.
Yes. If you were at a job and you knew that the company you were working for was going out of business April 14th, and that was going to be your last payday, you would be working hard to find yourself another job.
Uh-huh.
So this whole, if they don't want to be a part of this, then get them out of town, just makes no sense. And on top of it, you have a coach that's come out and said he's only keeping 3 or 4 players next year.
Yeah.
So he's already told, and I'm pretty sure he's talked to the 3 or 4 players he wants to come back. So if you haven't been talked to by Coach Sims, you ain't coming back.
Yeah. Which means those guys know, too.
Yeah.
If they know they're not one of them,
So, yes, this team is horrible. Yes, nobody wants to play here. Yes, we'll have a new team next year, and they'll battle because Sims is a good coach. You saw it already, and it is what it is. But yes, very surprised at the freaking out.
I was too.
I was talking to some people before and call me a bandwagon fan or whatever you want, but there's games I don't come down anymore because there's not. I go down to watch the team win. I go down to watch good hockey. And I've learned this season that they're really struggling to play good. Far between. Yes, they're really struggling to play good hockey, and I would rather watch good hockey somewhere else.
Yeah,
So when you go down to that game or you turn it on the radio, you cannot be surprised when this team fails again and again.
Yep. So the Iceman are now 14-39-8, back to DFL in the ECHL, and officially eliminated from playoff contention with Sunday's loss. We were third out. Stockton was the first team officially eliminated, and Gwinnett was the second team officially out. So at least we're third in that list. So we're still the worst in the league, though, by record. So, yeah, not good. But I'm with you. I was like, what are people losing their minds about? It took a 10-3 loss for people to realize that this team's not good. That doesn't mean we don't like them. That doesn't mean we don't hope they do better next year. But this team's terrible.
Yeah.
And if you're just figuring that out because we lost by 7 goals on Saturday night, then, boy, you slow.
Injury and transaction report.
Last Wednesday, the Icemen traded Patrick Kennedy's ECHL rights to the Kalamazoo Wings for forward Ray Caunisto and future considerations. Caunisto never even joined the team because on Thursday, before the trade deadline, he was then flipped to the Florida Everblades for more future considerations. So, a couple of more chucks in the mix.
Yep. Thought it was hilarious. There was some knucklehead on Facebook in the Asylum or something like that that's talked about how the team was building around Ray Caunisto for next year. Let me see who that was here. Oh, that was your post talking about, looks like Al Sims wants to build around forward Ray Caunisto. Like, this guy got 5 goals in 50 games. He is not building around this guy.
Where did I say this?
I thought you said it on the Asylum.
I'd like you to find me that
all
proof.
All right, we'll do it in the intermission.
Yeah, we'll look at intermission.
But this is obviously, again, Patrick Kennedy. I do not know this specifically, but just look at the coincidences. Utica loves this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Patrick Kennedy is not coming back to Evansville ever again by his choice. And I'm sure the conversation went, they contacted Coach Sims and said, we're keeping Kennedy. We're either signing him to an AHL contract or we're going to ask him to play in Kalamazoo. So you can either trade him to Kalamazoo now and at least get something for it, or at the end of the year, you're going to get nothing. So Patrick Kennedy will never return to the Iceman ever again. So, again, if you're going to throw other Iceman players under the bus for demanding a trade, you better do it to Patrick Kennedy, which I will not do because he's going to
blame him.
No, you can't blame him.
He's going to go play playoffs. And,
yep.
Yeah.
And then he's going to stay inside an organization that is calling him up on a regular basis.
Yep. Utica did send him down to Kalamazoo on Saturday, and he is under AHL contract and will be an ECHL free agent at season's end, regardless of who he's playing for in the ECHL, because he never actually signed an ECHL contract for this season. So we couldn't protect him at the end of the year. Kalamazoo can't protect him at the end of the year. Technically, if he's going to sign an ECHL deal for next year, he can go wherever he wants. But, yeah.
He's going to sign in Kalamazoo.
If they don't sign him to an AHL deal in Utica again. So, yeah, the trade deadline did pass last Thursday. No other moves made by the Icemen other than the Caunisto flipping.
Did that surprise you?
The Kennedy move? Or that we didn't do anything else?
Yeah, that we didn't get anything else done.
I thought Sims probably tried.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
I'm sure he was calling. He was probably burning up the phones. But, you know, how many assets are there on this team that he would be willing to move? You know,
yeah.
I'm guessing he got calls for Sudek.
Yep.
And he probably said, nope, sorry, you can't have him. But there's probably only those two or three untouchables that he wants to hang on for next year that he's not trading. And everybody else, nobody wants to trade for. So there you go. So, no, I wasn't really that surprised. Fast forward to Tuesday. Chris Drieger recalled by the Ottawa Senators because Craig Anderson re-aggravated his hand injury. No word yet on how bad it is, but the Sens may play it safe with Anderson since Andrew Hammond is still red hot.
Picked him up from a fantasy team.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't blame you. 10-0-1 with a 139 goals against and a 955 save percentage in his first 12 games. That's pretty hot. The Hamburglar is just the second goaltender in NHL history to allow two or fewer goals in each of his first 12 career starts.
That's amazing.
That's Yeah, especially considering his stats before he started playing for Ottawa. It's wild.
And that's one of the things I wanted to bring up with you is I can't understand the Driedger hate. This guy is the best goalie we have ever had here in town. That's my opinion. I don't know what your thought is.
What about Barbar?
Barbar.
Garrett Bartas.
Oh, Bartas. Lord Bartas?
Yeah, Lord Bartas.
Lord Bartas. He's fantastic, but he ain't...
no Driedger.
But he's no Chris Driedger, and it just... I don't understand the hate because a goalie is frustrated because the team in front of him sucks, so he gets lit up. I see it all the time. I see it at squirt hockey. I see it in adult hockey. I don't understand this code of ethics that we're expecting our Iceman players to live up to, but... This Driedger is good enough to play for the Ottawa Senators, but he's disliked in Evansville.
Because he didn't salute the fans because after he gave up seven goals.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. And I've said it before. I want to explain it a little bit better. Goalie schmoly, right? That is the philosophy.
There needs to be a Wikipedia page for goalie schmoly.
There should be.
Or at least Urban Dictionary.
But goalies are secondary parts of a team. I'm sorry to all my goalie friends out there, Johnny Kells and Brian Vall and everything else. Chris Crook.
It's all about the defense, right?
No. Well, yeah, but but they are secondary. You look at Vezina Trophy.
I'm sorry.
Vezina Trophy candidates last season. Tuukka Rask, Varlamov, and Ben Bishop. Is it Simeon?
Simeon Varlamov.
Yes.
It's not.
All traded.
Something else.
They were all traded from the team that originally had them.
And who,
is that because
who did Tuukka Rask start
exactly,
with?
Exactly. The Toronto Maple Leafs, because they said, quote, we cannot develop two goaltenders at the same time at the AHL level.
And who was the other one?
Justin Poggi.
And who was the other one?
Tuukka Rask.
No, I mean, who's Justin Poggi?
Exactly. So the year before, Sergei Bobrovsky, he wins the Vezina.
Bob.
Traded from Philadelphia for a second round pick. Did he magically get better all of a sudden?
Yes.
Yes, because that's what goaltenders do. How about 3 weeks ago you were in here spurting off bullcrap as usual about Pekka Rinne winning the Hart Trophy.
and now
yeah,
the wheels are falling off in Nashville.
So did Pekka Rinne all of a sudden get bad because he's 8-9 since February 1st?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, you know. But on the flip side is Devin Dubnyk. Devin Dubnyk, who failed in Edmonton.
And Nashville.
And Nashville. And Arizona.
And everywhere he's been until now.
And in that same time frame that your Hart Trophy vote Pekka Rinne has gone 8-9, he's gone 15-5 with the Minnesota Wild. Why? It's the team. It's the team first, and then the goalies are counted out. Now, I'm not saying there are goalies, there are better goalies, and there's consistency, and that's what you want. Obviously, a Pekka Rinne or a Henrik Lundqvist or a Jimmy Howard, much better as far as consistency goes than a Ben Scrivens and other names that you want to throw out there. But when it comes down to it, very subtle difference from the best goalie in the league and the worst goalie in the league. It's all about the team.
So, any other thoughts on that, or shall we move on to our next transaction?
I just want you to agree with me.
So, to fill Chris Driedger's roster spot, the Icemen have signed a rookie goaltender named Alex Vezina to an amateur tryout. Just finished up at Sacred Heart University. Went 9-12-3 there with a .249 goals against and .916 save percentage as a senior. Could be the first of several guys signed straight out of college. It is that time of year. We always see guys finishing their college careers and start signing professional tryouts this time of year.
And you can find some dandies.
Yeah.
Derek Army Peter's in Wheeling, and then the kid down in Florida, I forget his name, the netminder that they snagged last year, and he turned into a really fantastic goaler.
This is the time of year we first signed Peter Sakaris and Mark Anthoyne last year, so you'll see names, and maybe they'll be part of the future. We'll see. It's also when Adam Pleskatch we signed a couple years ago and then let him go, and he's a 30-goal scorer.
And a stud. Yep.
So
and this is where the coaches with good reputations, this is where they make their hay. When you can snag these guys and they come in for a handful of games at the end of the year, and then whether they play in the playoffs, and then you get a chance to re-sign them for the following year, and this is where the core starts getting built. And I'm no way to grade Sims on that this year. He just took the team over January 1st, so he's not going to have a lot of contacts and network and everything else. Plus, it's probably going to be a little tough to talk someone into coming here right now.
Yeah.
But this is where, over the next few years, as he's the coach, we'll start seeing him and his reputation, his championships, playing with Bobby Orr, playing in the show. He'll start attracting a lot of talent here.
Yep. In other Sims news, on his weekly appearance on ESPN Radio last week, he said that Jordan Sims, his son, will be returned to Peoria at the end of March to join the Rivermen for the SPHL playoffs. Their regular season finale is March 28th, so I would guess he'll be with us through the home finale on March 29th and then probably return to Peoria after that. So people don't need to be freaking out when he gets released at the end of the month. That's the plan. So, and that's cool. That's good to get. He'll go back to the team he started the year with, help them in the playoffs, and he'll get some experience in a playoff setting. So good all around. And some injury updates. Dan Sova has been shifted to IR. He needs hip surgery that will require 5 to 6 months of rehab, out for the rest of the season. Patafi said that the surgery will be done by a Vanderbilt surgeon who works with the Tennessee Titans. Cool. So not messing around there. In other injury news, Braden Pym will also be out for the rest of the season. Sustained a knee injury in Friday's game at Indy. No details given, but Patafi said it's, quote, not good.
Man.
That's not good.
That is horrible.
Randy Cure back on the ice, but still struggling with lateral movement. Patafi said he thinks Cure may just sit out the rest of the season. Better safe than sorry, rather than try to rush it back and cause more damage. And in Konki news, Andre Bouvet-Morissette making some progress, but Jim McKenzie is still having issues. Or, as Patafi put it, Jim is still, quote, a little bit loopy.
That's horrible.
Don't you hate it?
I was just like, want to go shoot myself after the report. My goodness.
I know. All kinds of bad
news.
The
highlight of the whole thing is Ray Canisto.
Who we're building around or something.
Oh, my goodness. Well, again, good Chris Dreiger. Awesome. Or Dreiger. Dreiger.
Drieger. Who knows how it's pronounced?
This darn E's and I's, but awesome. He gets another shot up at the NHL level. I got a feeling he's going to see action this time. Just got a feeling.
We'll see. They have, as of when he got called up, they have 14 games left, including a pair of back-to-backs. My guess is they're going to ride Hammond until they're mathematically eliminated. And as well as they're playing, Boston's playing pretty darn well, too. And it's
unfortunately.
It's going to make it hard for Ottawa to get in. And I think if they get to the point in the last week or two where they have been eliminated, then they may give Hammond a night off, and we may see Dreger get at least one start if Anderson is still out. There's no word on how long he'll be out, but there was talk apparently in a postgame interview a few days ago or something. Anderson said something about there may be another option as far as his hand, and generally that's referring to some sort of procedure. Mm-hmm. So if he decides to shut it down for the rest of the year and have some sort of surgical procedure to fix his hand for good, then, yeah, we may very well see Dreger stay there the rest of the season and possibly get a start or two, at least in garbage time once they're out.
I need to make mention, since I've not mentioned any names, but I've chirped at the Asylum a little bit, fantastic fan support in Evansville where people are flocking out to Bar Louie or wherever, or watching at home and tweeting pictures of Dreger on the bench when he's with Ottawa. I mean, that is the fan base here. I mean, it's just awesome to see that kind of support for one of their guys, even when he's just wearing the ball cap on the bench.
Yep.
Anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, IcemanManiacs.com. The Maniac message board is the place to find the latest Iceman transaction and roster news.
What's up?
Streaking in South Kekalaki.
The South Carolina Stingrays swept their 3-3 with Gwinnett over the weekend. They now hold the,
as predicted by you.
Yep. They now hold the ECHL record for the longest win streak of all time at 19 games and counting. The old league record was 17, set by Cincinnati in 06-07. The NHL record all-time is 17 also, set by the Pittsburgh Penguins in 92-93. But the Stingrays have a little ways to go if they want to catch the AHL record of 29, set by the Norfolk Admirals in 2011-2012. They have 10 games left, so they can tie Norfolk's 29 if they win out. Next up, in order, they get Indy and then Cincinnati twice, Toledo, Indy, and then Evansville on March 29th. That is our home finale. So
that's a pretty tough schedule.
That's a tough, yeah. A couple of Cincinnati's, a couple of Indy's, a Toledo. If they manage to get through all five of those, just watch. They'll come here and we'll somehow beat them, and it'll end against the worst team.
Awesome. And then we'll get the championship belt, right?
Yeah. The Carolina Hockey Championship belt. That's the inter Carolina belt.
I like it.
Meanwhile, Stingrays goaltender Jeff Jochaitis, he was in net Friday and Saturday as the Stingrays won 4-0 and 6-0. He now has 3 straight shutouts and, get this, a March save percentage of .990. That's sick.
That doesn't even sound mathematically possible.
Yeah. On Saturday, he set a new ECHL record for longest individual shutout streak. He is at 259 minutes and 32 seconds and still counting because he did not play in their loss or their win on Sunday.
Isn't that funny? Back-to-back shutouts and you take them out.
You got to take them out because it's 3-3, yeah. And yeah, you don't want to.
Still win.
Yeah, they still did win. Interesting to note, before last season, Jeff Pyle said he tried to sign Jochaitis with the Icemen, but he ultimately signed with South Carolina. I think I know your answer to this based on your goaltending discussion earlier, but how do you think things would be different if we had signed Jeff Jochaitis?
It wouldn't have been.
People would pay $1,000 for Jeff Jochaitis jerseys instead of others?
Yeah, yep.
That's about it?
Yep, I think that's it.
Everything else would be the same?
Everything else would be the same.
Gotcha. So you heard it here
Maybe,
first, everyone.
I mean, you can't. You can only guess or speculate. Well, no, because, you know, we lost a couple of games with Lord Bardis, and you wonder if Clemente got called up to Columbus a couple of times, up to Springfield, but Jochaitis would have been called up too. So even though he wasn't their property, so I honestly don't think it would have made any difference, win or lose. So What about you?
I think it would have made a difference. I don't think it would have made us a championship team or anything, but I think it would have made a difference. But
well, define it point-wise. 4 points, 8 points in the playoffs.
Well, it would have totally depended on how much he played. You know, if we had him...
That's what I mean.
Right. If we played... even if he was here all year, if there's some demand from on high that the affiliate goalie needs to get half the starts, then that minimizes the impact that a guy like Jochaitis could have. I think with his career numbers, he would certainly be an upgrade over most, if not all, the goalies we've had, but I don't know that he would have been able to overcome all of the shortcomings of this team. So I think you would have seen an improvement, maybe 10 points, give or take, in the standings, but I don't think it would have made a light year's difference because the team in front of him was just so ice many.
Well, you talk about last year or this year?
Either.
Well, okay.
Because you figure, you know, if we had him last year, we would have protected him and probably tried to re-sign him this year.
Gotcha. So, see, I was just only worried about last year. But you
last year's problem was the meltdown after everyone got hurt.
And called, recalled, yeah. And traded. Yeah. So, and I don't think he would have made a difference, and that's why I don't think with him in the net we would have gone to the playoffs. You know, once we lost Larkin, Lavin, Guy,
yeah.
Patrick Kennedy, and then all the injuries that we had, Mooner, yeah. And the rest, there's just goalers are secondary.
Goalie schmoly.
Shockers, hockey, rock song of the week.
So here's a fun fact. The Electric Light Orchestra holds the record for most songs to reach the top 40 in the Billboard Hot 100 without ever having a number one hit. Odd. They had 20, believe it or not.
One more than South Carolina's win streak.
Yeah. 20 top 40 hits without a single number one. Their highest charting single hit number 4 back in 1979. It's a tune that I used as an opponent goal song at Swander, which I think is fitting to play this week after we gave up 10 goals on Saturday. Also fitting since the song ends with the sound effect of a door closing, and I think we're all ready to close the door on this Iceman season. So here we go. It's ELO, Don't Bring Me Down.
Youth Inc. has been an outreach to inner city and area youth for over 20 years. Home of a coffee house, a vintage store, radio station, and music venue, Youth Inc. has run solely on the donations of supporters. Donation is easy, online, and secure. Visit our website, wiredwiredwired.com. Click to donate and join our Youth Inc. family of supporters.
Now, Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley.
And Daddy.
And Daddy.
And we are back. Amusement Park Radio, Iceman Insights here in the second hour. Shocker. Dirty D. Wired.
Shockerler.
Shockerler. We start off this segment after intermission with me being held accountable.
Ah.
I was incorrect.
And wait,
I was,
wait. Can you repeat that?
I was incorrect.
One more time.
I was incorrect.
Okay. Just want to make sure I heard it right. I don't hear that phrase very often, if ever.
I was excited all weekend long to throw you under the bus for saying that Ray Canisto was part of our future. But that's not what you said.
Nah.
You said Ray Canisto and futures in the trade. So That's why we write it down, and that's why we keep ourselves accountable here. It's Accountability Sports Talk, the only one in the nation.
So what you're saying is...
I was wrong.
Reading is hard.
hash mark. Reading is hard.
I like that. Just skip the is. Hash mark, reading hard.
Reading hard.
Very Neanderthal of you.
Dreger, Jachytis, who would you want?
It's a very good question, and we discussed it briefly during intermission.
Yes.
Well, during Chuck-a-Puck, we discussed it. But...
Live in studio.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think I would go Jachytis, all other things being equal, just because of the fact that he has killed us. Every time we've ever faced him, he has killed us. And if we sign him, that means not only do we have him on our team, but we have him not on another team. So I think it would not only be addition for us, but addition by subtraction to opposition. But I don't think you could go wrong with either one of them. I'm with you. I think Dreger is a lot better than a lot of people are giving him credit for. This team is just terrible. And I don't think you can crucify a guy and write off his future just because he has ho-hum numbers on a team that has 14 wins in 60 games. So, yeah, I think Dreger... I'm not saying, and I've said it before, I'm not saying that Chris Dreger is ever going to be a legitimate NHL goalie. I have serious doubts that he will. But... that doesn't mean he's god-awful terrible either.
Yep.
He's somewhere in between, probably leaning more toward the good than the bad. But we just don't know yet. You got to remember, he's only 20 years old. This is his first pro season. He's going to have some growing pains. And I think, I've posted on the Asylum about the benefit he's getting, in addition to the monetary benefit of being in Ottawa, is working with NHL coaches, especially having a goaltending coach working with him one-on-one.
Yep.
I think that is more valuable than anything for his future. And I don't know, we may not see him again this year. If they shut Anderson down, we may not see Dreger again, but I think it's huge for his future that he's getting this time up there. And you never know. We may never see him again because, if they let Robin Lehner go or if they trade him, and they decide to go with Hammond as their backup in Ottawa next year, then in all likelihood, Dreger's going to be playing in Binghamton.
Yep.
So we very well may not see him again. This past weekend could have been the last time we ever see him here. But regardless, I think he's got the potential to be a very good goalie. Whether or not he realizes that is another thing. We do know Jeff Jachytis is a very good goalie at this level. For whatever reason, he's never stuck at the next level. And that's maybe a whole other conversation. Mm-hmm. But I think I would go Jachytis just because it'd be nice to have him on our team and not on someone else's.
Let me throw Madore in there. Jachytis, Madore, or Dreger.
Ooh. Is there a height requirement?
Yeah.
I think I'd
stop the puck,
I think I'd still take Jachytis over Madore, but that's close too.
Yeah, I really like Madore. And I've always liked those shorter goalies that. But really athletic, but I would still go Dreger over Madore as well. Oh, our next segment coming up.
The mad speculation by the mad scientist, Dr. Dirty D.
Step into my laboratory.
I enjoy that.
Yeah, I know you do.
Jason Dale.
Ooh. 100% free of facts, because the truth hurts way more than making stuff up. We found out last week Colin Murray sat out for a game due to a telltale heart.
Yes, indeed.
And it got better by drinking herbal tea, of all things.
Yes, it did.
Who knew? You did.
Yep.
And now everyone who listens to this does, all six of you. So this week's case, Robin Sudeck. He has not yet missed a game, but during the jersey auction on Saturday night, he was noticeably limping. So what is up with Mr. Sudeck?
Well, he has a very deep tissue bone bruise.
Uh-oh.
And so shouldn't keep him out of the game. It's just a painful kind of situation, as long as not career-threatening, not long-term. It's just how long will it take before it heals. But it is a very specific bone bruise that kind of affects the skin around it. And it is referred to in the medical profession as being besprinkled in scarlet horror.
Really?
Yes, because that area turns a reddish kind of bruise instead of your normal purple. So they call it the scarlet horror. And the way that the bruise isn't one big bruise, but a lot of little bruises.
Little sprinkles.
Yes, bee sprinkles.
Red sprinkles on the skin over your bone.
Bee sprinkled in scarlet horror. Yes, indeed.
Hmm. How about that?
How about that?
How do you get over it?
Well, you go on a trip. if you get in an airplane, maybe we can get Chris Lemon or something like that. But higher atmosphere will help break that up, or Colorado or something. Mm. There you go.
By the way, on Saturday, I think it was, one of the games over the weekend, Chris Lemon and Madeline sat in the best seats in the house down at ice level. And it was fitting that they were there because the national anthem was performed by a bagpipe corps.
Ah.
So he got to see the kilt up close.
I was wondering.
He was wearing pants and a Stockton Thunder jersey, believe it or not. He was wearing a Damian Serma Stockton Thunder jersey.
I love it.
Which made me think, Serma actually played for Stockton? Is that this year or in the past? I don't know.
Crazy. That's awesome. Could you imagine him winning those seats and then not sitting ladylike in his kilt in the best seats in the house, and they keep putting him on the jumbotron?
I think if he had known that they were going to have bagpipers performing the anthem, he would have worn the kilt, and they should have just trotted him out there and like stand out there with them. He could like fake conduct them while they were performing.
I'm sure they would enjoy that.
Yeah.
Pie Day jersey auction. Nice looking jersey.
Yeah, black and green.
Yep.
It's always been a color scheme I've liked, dating back to the days of the Kalamazoo Wings when they were black and green when they were affiliated with Minnesota.
Soda.
The Pi Day jerseys on Saturday fetched a total of $16,125.
Jersey results? Do you have jersey results? Do you have jersey results?
No.
Jersey results?
No.
Do you have jersey results?
Nope.
Anyone post jersey results?
Not yet. $620 per jersey. How about now? Do I have now?
Jersey results.
Jersey results?
Does anyone have any auction results?
Anybody got some freaking jersey results? 26 total jerseys. The top five were a team jersey that went for $1,000. Brandon Martell for $900. Jordan Sims, $775. Drieger, $750. And Com, $700. The goalies are always up there.
Yep.
A few other notables. Donnie Harris went for $675. MacDonald, $650.
I like that. It's a good investment.
Kennedy and Harris, $625. Sudeck, $575. Braden Pym and Guy Lapine, $550.
Guy with only $550.
Yeah, out of sight, out of mind, I guess.
Frazee, broken hearts.
Yeah, Frazee for $525. Well, if they got broken hearts, they need to have some herbal tea.
Yeah, there you go.
Only two jerseys went for less than $500. They were Spencer Humphreys for $475, and Colin Murray was the low man on the totem pole at $450. Full results of this and every jersey auction can be found on IcemanManiacs.com, on the Maniac message board, in the jersey auctions thread, which is updated by Monday or Tuesday after the auctions, not immediately because I have a life. Jersey auctions? Jersey auctions?
Jersey
Do you have the jerseys?
Jersey auctions.
Whatever. I got to know. It's life and death. I can't sleep tonight if I don't know how much Braden Pym's jersey went for.
But I couldn't stay there and watch it myself.
Yeah. I just want to know how much they are so I know that I can multiply by 0.3 and get how much they'll be sold for online in 6 months.
Nice. Brian Patafi, tweet of the week.
You can follow Iceman Athletic Trainer Brian Patafi on Twitter, B-Patafi, B-P-A-T-A-F-I-E. This is just a taste of the fresh, cutting-edge humor Mr. Patafi offers. Quote, it's raining cats and dogs, and I stepped in a poodle.
Yeah, saw it.
I'm pretty sure he's used that one before.
I thought so, too.
It sounded like, even for Patafi, it sounded really familiar.
Maniac Asylum Lunatic of the Week. We got to break it out.
Yep, first time we've done this in a little while. Throwing someone under the bus for the most insane recent post in the Maniac Asylum on Facebook, and that's a high bar that you have to clear.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of insanity there.
Yeah, constantly.
But
this it doesn't even hit our radar, but yet someone steps right out and above.
Yeah, he stepped up and he knocked it out of the park. A repeat champion. He's done it before. He'll probably do it again. This week's honoree is Ryan Huff, who after Saturday night's putrid performance by the Icemen said, quote, I found the bright spot. We aren't as bad as the Toronto Maple Leafs, end quote. Now, mind you, after Saturday night, the Leafs were 27-37-6, which is a .429 winning percentage. Not great, but by comparison, the Evansville Icemen just happened to be 14-38-8, which is a .300 winning percentage. And, mind you, had just lost 10-3 to none other than the Toronto Maple Leafs AA affiliate. So we got beat by 7 goals by Toronto's AA squad, and yet somehow we're better than the Maple Leafs. That's what we learned from Ryan Huff, the Maniac Asylum Lunatic of the Week.
Would you care
to, I don't know, that a retort is necessary, but a rant is needed here.
No,
we need
it
a
wasn't
good rant.
Even a rant, but I did the rant a month ago when I said,
don't make fun of my darn Leafs.
Don't make fun of the Leafs if you're an Iceman fan, because they are worse than the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Toronto Maple Leafs suck. They are horrible, and this team, this Evansville Iceman team, is even worser.
Sucker.
So
suckerer.
I just don't get it. I mean, you at this point, if you want to feel good about yourself by saying someone is worse than you, you're going to have to work really damn hard to find a team that you can blame on, because this Iceman team is bad.
And then I posted Toronto.
I saw the post and just laughed and did the math. Leafs have 27 wins in 70 games, and the Icemen have 14 wins. They'd have to win 13 of their last 15 games to reach 27 wins.
Do we even have 15 games left?
At the time
they were 14-38-8. That's
They only had like
that's
11.
60s. They only had 12 games left. So they had to win 13 out of their last 12 games.
Yes, exactly.
Which I know math is hard, but I don't think that's possible.
So, yeah, not exactly sure where the statistics come from on some of these Facebook quotes. But that's how you end up being Lunatic of the Week.
Yeah. Congratulations. I don't know. I'd have to go back and count him up, but I think this is his third or fourth.
I think at least four.
He's getting up there. We may have to rename it the Ryan Huff Memorial Maniac Asylum Lunatic of the Week.
News and notes.
The Maniac Madness Bracket Contest is underway. The deadline to enter and submit your bracket is tomorrow, Thursday, at 11:15 a.m. Central Time before the first round of 64 game begins. It is free to enter, and the prize package from Steven Rickard, his Taters, and WKTG does indeed, as mentioned last week, include a pair of Holiday World tickets.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought we were just building it up for the Pink Flamingo.
And the infamous inflatable Pink Flamingo can holder is also in it. It's a good package. He put together a bunch of stuff that's summery. So there's like an inflatable raft to use in the pool and a few other things. Margarita umbrellas and various assorted summery accoutrements. So, pretty cool stuff. Again, the deadline is Thursday at 11:15. So if you want to play, it's free. Go do so. Also, the Cincinnati
Hold on. I wanted to make a quick comment on that. Mike Haney, who's been posting in the Asylum, absolutely hilarious. Mike, I don't know if we know each other or not, but he put a post of the brackets. He said he finished his bracket, and every line has hockey in it.
All the way to the finals.
Yep, all 64 teams just say hockey, and every semifinal and Elite Eight and all that other stuff. Hockey, 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 hockey. So well done, Mike.
That's the perfect bracket.
Yes, that is.
We were at the game on Sunday, and you know it was going the way it was going. And I turned to Amanda at one point, and I said, you know what I'm looking forward to? And she said, what? I said, the NHL playoffs.
Yeah.
This is the first year since the ESPN days that I will have access to all the games, because we finally have NBCSN on cable at home.
Nice.
So I can't wait to where there's doubleheaders on every night of the week for 3 weeks straight in the first round. It's going to be awesome.
I can't wait to be coming over to your house to watch it, because I don't have NBCSN.
Come on over. So, anyway, the other thing in news and notes, the Cincinnati road trip is Saturday, April 4th for the Iceman Cyclones game over there. So far, bus reservations are going slow. The deadline to pay for the bus is this Friday, the 20th. And if we don't get enough people signing up for the bus, we're going to have to nix the bus, because we can't pay $3,000 to run a bus if there's going to be five people on it.
Yep, that's a little extravagant.
Yeah. We're not wanting to necessarily make money on this bus trip, but we'd like to not lose our hats. So we will nix it if we don't get enough people. Even if we have to nix the bus trip, we will still be offering discount group tickets for the game. Everyone will just have to drive themselves over there. Details about both the bracket contest and the Cincinnati road trip are on IcemanManiacs.com.
Upcoming games.
Five games over the next 2 weeks, including our final three home games. Mercifully, it will be over soon. This Friday the 20th, a 7:15 start against the Florida Everblades. All kinds of stuff going on that night. It is a youth jersey giveaway night. The Napa pregame warm-up jerseys will be auctioned off after the game. And it is also Faith Night, with a post-game and, I assume, post-auction concert featuring the Christian rock group Abandon. Do you know who they are? Have you heard of them?
Nope. I'll have to check the playlist, see if we even play it on this radio station. There's a chance we do. So, because I think I've seen their name, so we'll have to pull that up later on.
Saturday.
Also, when are we doing the Alan York welcome back? Is that Friday night or Saturday night?
We need to do that. We need to like get some sort of a we miss Yorkie chant
or
something.
That
yeah.
would be awesome.
With our fan base, there would be three people participating in that chant.
Yeah.
Saturday, the Everblades are the opposition again at 7:15, and that evening will feature a post-game skate for season ticket holders and Blizzard's Buddies Kids Club members. Boy, there's a lot of plural words in that there phrase. And then that's it. Just two games this weekend, and then the following weekend, a 3-3, and it's a rough one, too. Friday the 27th, the Icemen are in Cincinnati, and Saturday the 28th, they're at Toledo. Interestingly, both teams for those games are doing a pregame craft beer tasting deal program promotion thingy. The Cyclones are calling it Pucks and Pints. The Walleye are calling it Hockey and Hops. The moral of the story is everybody's got to get drunk to watch the Icemen play.
Oh, nice.
And then the 3-3 concludes on Sunday, the 29th. The Icemen will drive back through the night from Toledo to face South Carolina at 5 o'clock on Sunday, the 29th. That's the home finale featuring the Superstars. And even though it is the home finale, it is still a Subway family night. So folks can get cheap tickets to watch the Icemen and the Superstars on Sunday, the 29th. And we'll see. Maybe they'll still be riding their winning streak and we'll shock the world.
That would be awesome.
Not going to happen.
Because I will be there. Because Ivy Lowe will be there for the Superstars.
Yeah, you got to come see the Superstars.
Sure do. Dangling Tangent.
So since Saturday was pie day, what's your favorite type of pie?
Lemon meringue.
Really?
Yep.
Far and away.
Without a doubt. Yep. My grandmother on my mom's side used to make an amazing lemon meringue pie every year for Christmas or Thanksgiving, one of those ones, and it was just fantastic. And yep, that's my favorite. What about you?
I would probably go pumpkin. I really like a good Dutch apple. I like cherry pie, but I think pumpkin was probably my favorite.
Johnny Kells makes the best pumpkin pie I have ever had in my life.
Really?
Yep. He is.
Does he do something special? Is there like a Johnny Kell's secret sauce?
There is.
Jason Dale! Jason Dale! Jason Dale! Just knocking stuff over in the studio.
A lot of clove and nutmeg. It's a very spicy.
You said nut.
Jeez. Oh my goodness!
I like that you were using you were like pantomiming a hand motion while you were doing that too. Do I need to turn my head and cough?
Final thoughts.
Here's a question for you.
Yep.
Off script, based on what you mentioned earlier.
Sticking with Dreger.
Dreger, Jakaitis, Madore, or Alan York?
Oh, Dreger.
Dreger still?
Yep. Oh, yeah. I think he's that good. I've been impressed with him all year long.
Dreger, Jakaitis, Madore, York, or Brian Vall?
That one's tough. That one is tough. Not sure. Going to have to think about that one.
Yeah.
Got a quick story for you.
Uh-oh.
So.
Do we actually have time for it?
We're going to.
Okay.
So my daughter, her new favorite thing now is making mix CDs, dance CDs.
Really?
Yep. Which, when I grew up back in the 80s and 90s, loved making mix tapes. And fact, you know, I've got the Vox Populi show that I do on Friday nights, which is pretty much a mixtape radio show.
Yeah.
Take music from 70s, 80s, 90s and find a theme and piece it all together. And she's been so she really, really likes doing it, and she likes finding songs, and we put them on there. And she even, and then I help her with the playlist, and she organizes the song, and she's like, "Wow, Dad, that one ends perfectly and leads right into the other one." I'm like, "Gosh, I'm such a nerd because I've said that a million times when I've shown my rock show playlist to Rebecca." But so she has 4 30 Seconds to Mars songs on there. A bunch of songs from Littlest Pet Shop and My Little Pony Equestria Girls. So there, and then she's got Final Countdown and
nice.
Don't Stop Believing. And right in the middle of it, she says, "Dad, you know what I need in the middle of this playlist?" I said, "What?" "I need a Real Men of Genius." Like, no, you can't put a Real Men of Genius. "Yes, I want Not So Smart Smartphone Guy." So in the middle of her playlist, she has Not So Smart Smartphone Guy, and she will dance and play her CD and dance, and then she knows all the words to Mr. Smartphone Smartphone, or Not So Smart Mr. Smartphone Guy.
I'm sorry. What is it again?
Not So Smart Mr. Smartphone Guy.
Mr. Not So Easy to Say Guy?
Yeah, exactly. So
that's awesome.
Go. Yep.
Hmm. Jeez, maybe we should put out a mixed or a CD and sell them.
That would be awesome. Can we put them on the booster table?
Like, yeah.
Picture of us on the album cover. We'd end up going to jail.
Yeah. It'd
be horrible. I don't know, for copyright infringement, as well as like if some 10-year-old kid bought one for $10, we'd probably get trouble for child abuse listening to our stuff.
Corrupting America's youth.
Next show, amusement park next week, but no insights. The Shuckler will be out of town.
Yes.
So tentatively 2 weeks away, which is April Fool's Day, which in my experience working with the Iceman is the best day of the year because Rick Llewellyn and all the rest of the Practical Jokers upsetting the fan base to the point of people calling and crying last year.
Yep.
It was fantastic. It was probably the second best day of that whole season.
So we should be here on April Fool's Day, and we'll break down all the Evansville Thoroughbreds news and analysis you need.
Indeed.
And Comet Tails. And
yes.
We'll have Don Brecht and his light-up helmet inside.
So maybe instead of a game recap, we can just recap all the April Fool's jokes. It'd probably be better. He is Michael Shockley, the senior writer webmaster of IcemanManiacs.com. You can pipe it up on the WW. And this has been Iceman Insights only on 96.1 FM Wired Radio.
We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.